Brother Jeff speak this week about some things that I could say that would connect the Lord's death and resurrection and what we're doing today to the concept of creation. So I want to begin this morning by reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, if you'd like to read with me. John, chapter 20, and I'm just going to read the opening verse here. John 20. It says, 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. I want you to notice the detail here in verse 1, while it was still dark. The other Gospels also give us some specific time indicators about the moment when the ladies came to the tomb. A little bit different. Matthew says that it was toward the dawn of the first day of the week. Mark says that it was very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen. And Luke says it was at early. Yeah, it doesn't take too much imagination to see what they are describing. What the text is telling us is that these faithful disciples got there while it was still dark, but the sun was just beginning to rise. What I want to focus on this morning, though, is not these slightly different nuances in the way that the Gospels describe when the ladies arrived. I want to instead focus on what the Gospels unanimously and emphatically emphasize, and that is that the resurrection took place on the first day of the week. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all in their different ways, describe the specific time of day when the ladies came to the tomb, all in complementary ways. But when it comes to the day itself, all four accounts say exactly the same thing. On the first day of the week. Matthew says toward the dawn of the first day of the week. Mark says very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen. Luke says on the first day of the week at early dawn. And John here says now on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. I think it's interesting that the gospel writers all say on the first day of the week, because we might have expected them to describe the day of the resurrection in relationship to the day of the crucifixion, which is what Jesus did when he said he would rise on the third day. And yet that's not what the gospel writers say. All of them say on the first day of the week. Now, I have a question to ask that is so absurdly simple. You might find it insulting for me to ask this question. But it is a question that for a long time I had never thought about. And it connects to our VBS. Here is the question. Brace yourselves. The question is, on what day did God begin the work of creation? And just to double down on the elementary nature of this question and its answer, I want to look and read the answer key to that question, which is found in the very first page of the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 1. We'll read these verses, which are very familiar to us after our study this past week. Genesis 1 says, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So the answer, what day did God begin the work of creation, is on the first day of the week. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. Now, you may have considered this. in connection with Jesus' resurrection for a long time, but only relatively recently did your dim-witted preacher really start to think about the connection between the two events. The work of creation began on the first day of the week, and the work of redemption, what the New Testament describes as new creation, also began on the first day of the week. Here's something else to notice. According to Genesis 1 and verse 2, when God began his work of creation, was it light or was it dark? Darkness was over the face of the deep. And in response to that darkness, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In fact, this pattern of darkness and light really continues all the way through the creation account. Because at the end of each day, the text doesn't say there was morning and there was evening the first day or the second day. It's always there was evening and there was morning the first, second, and so on. So in Genesis chapter 1, God began his work of creation on the first day of the week. And not only that, he began this work when it was dark. Now, think about the way the gospel accounts describe the visit of the women to the tomb. There are subtle variations in the specific time of when they got to the tomb from one gospel to the other. The sun is rising, overall still very dark. But all of the gospels agree that by the time the women got to the tomb was already empty, which means that Jesus rose from the dead while it was still dark. Is that significant? I think so. And the reason I think so is because sometimes in the Bible, darkness refers to a lot more than just the absence of physical light. Sometimes it refers to a lack of spiritual light. And you don't have to go that far back into the Gospel of John to see an example of this. If you would go from John 20 to John chapter 12, when Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem to begin the final week and the crowds gather around him, I want you to listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 12 and verse 35. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little longer, a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going." Now, of course, that's true physically. If you get up in the middle of the night and start stumbling around, you might trip over something. But obviously, Jesus here is not talking about a lack of physical light. He's talking about the lack of spiritual light, of walking in spiritual darkness, being overcome by it. Think about it. In the case of Genesis chapter 1, why does light come into existence? Because of the word of God. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Light comes into existence because of the will of God. And since light is what exists when the will of God is done, guess what exists when the opposite is the case, when the will of God is not done? Darkness. And that's why here in John 12 and verse 35, Jesus warns about the darkness overtaking those listening to him. Not physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. The darkness of the opposition to the will of God. And when did that darkness reach its utmost depths? When wicked and unjust men crucified the Son of God. But here is the question. Could that darkness permanently extinguish the light of the world? Look with me at the start of John's Gospel, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, you will see that just as John and the other gospel writers, by mentioning that Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, are directly and deliberately connecting the resurrection of Jesus to the story of creation, you will see that John begins his gospel also by echoing the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by the way, it not only echoes Genesis by saying in the beginning, remember, how did God create? And God said he created by his Word. And notice how Jesus is described here. In the beginning was the Word who is with God, and the Word who is God. John is telling us that just as the first creation, the old creation, the physical creation began because of the Word of God, by the same token here as he describes the work of God in his new creation, it will also happen because of the Word of God. Verse 2 and verse 3, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. So I've asked you to think about a couple of things this morning. When did the women get to the tomb? The darkness of when Jesus rose from the dead, the fact that it takes place on the first day of the week, the same day creation begins, and creation begins with darkness, and then there is light. You tracking with me this morning? Now, let's read verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And all you got to do is one of my technical, detailed, theological investigations, namely BibleGateway.com, punch in light, hit enter, go to the Gospel of John, and you'll see John talks about light a lot. Notice especially then verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Think about the first part of verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. This is not, of course, the first time that the Bible says that God's light shines in darkness. Remember, that's how the Bible begins. There is darkness over the face of the deep until God says, let there be light. And then light shines in the darkness. And so what John is telling us is that just as in the case of the old or physical creation, because of the will of God, the Word of God, light shines in the darkness, now in the new creation of redemption, light shines in the darkness in Jesus Christ. But there's more here. Look at the way verse 5 ends. Some of your Bibles say something like this: the darkness did not comprehend it. That's what the New American Standard Bible says in the New King James Version. And the word that's translated, comprehend, comes from a word that basically means to grasp something. And sometimes we talk about grasping a point or understanding a point. So that's why some translations say comprehend. And it's possible that that's what John means here, because as you know, throughout the Gospel of John, there's a big point made about the fact that there are people who don't quite get Jesus. They don't quite comprehend or understand him. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And what does Nicodemus think? You mean I've got to be reinserted into my mama's womb? Or he tells the woman at the well in John chapter 4, that he has water to give her to drink from which she will never thirst again. And she says, you don't have a bucket to draw water with. She thinks he's talking about H2O. In John 6, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, the day after, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. And almost everybody walks away, apparently interpreting him very literally. So it would make sense if we are to understand this verse, as some translations put it, that the darkness did not comprehend him. But there's another way that this word can be translated. Because the idea of grasping something can refer to, you know, mentally grasping a point, but of course it can also refer to literally, physically grasping something. to tackle someone, to wrestle them down, to control them, to subdue them. And that's why the English Standard Version translates this verse the way that I read just a moment ago. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Not comprehend, but apprehend, seize, overtake. Which, by the way, you remember that verse we read in John 12 and verse 35 when Jesus warned those listening to him to walk in the light and not the darkness, lest the darkness overtake you? That's this word. Overtake, overcome. Here's what I think John means. The darkness could not overcome the word and light of God in the old creation. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the darkness could not overcome the word and light of God in the new creation. Remember, it was still dark when Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb was already empty when the women got there just as the sun was coming up. Because God's Son, the Son, had already risen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And in a world in which the darkness seems to grow more ominous with each passing day, I need to be reminded every week that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that just as the forces of darkness which put Jesus in the tomb could not keep him there, that just as the Word of God launched the old creation on the first day of the week, the Word of God, the light of God, has shone to begin the new and redemptive creation on the first day of the week. And that someday that new creation will be perfected. Perfected in a city that has no need of sun or moon or stars. For the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb, and there is no night there. And so today we gather on the first day of the week, the day when God said, when the darkness was over the face of the deep, let there be light, and there was light. And we come together today on the day when, while it was still dark, Jesus, the light of the world, conquered the darkness of sin and death in his resurrection. My brothers and sisters, we gather together today as we take the bread and the cup to remind ourselves the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Brothers and sisters, as we are about to pass out the bread and the fruit of the vine, the cups are together, take both. And after we pass that out to everybody, I will come back up here and offer a blessing, and so that we may all partake together.